The following production is part of the We Be Geeks podcast collective.
This podcast is a member of the Red 5 Network. For more Red 5 Network podcasts and content creators, visit bio.link/red5.
Produced with podcasting gear from Tascam. Trust your audio to Tascam. Sound thinking.
This show brought to you by Jersey Ninja. New items added weekly, superior quality products, excellent selection, competitive pricing, 100% satisfaction guaranteed. That's Jersey Ninja at jerseyninja.com, your source for great quality hockey jerseys and performance wear products.
Welcome to another episode of Wookiee Radio. It is the Smugglers 3, Ken, Derek, and myself, Mike. How you guys doing?
All right.
I'm okay.
Feel the pain. Big week amongst three topics in Star Wars this week. So we're going to do the Imperial March on what Hasbro and others released that will be either available for order or pre-order. The Acolyte trailer was released this week, and the latest episode, Bad Territory, I believe it's called, of the Bad Batch. So check out the homepage, WookieRadio.net. Support our affiliates. They're found on the right-hand side of the show, or of the show page. If you want to email us or send us a voicemail through email, whatever, WookieRadio@gmail.com or hit us up on social medias at Wookiee Radio. So, Imperial March. Hasbro definitely stepped up the game this week with their stuff.
Yeah, I got a bunch in here.
Such as, I'm not sure, all these will start pre-order on Thursday, the 21st. I don't know when they're coming out. And some of these, I would hope they come out in a relatively timely manner because of what they are. So let's go through the list. Black Series, Darth Maul Holocom from Hasbro. It's a new figure being added to the Holocom / Bounty Puck series, which if it's a Holocom, fine, it's a Holocom. Don't add the bounty tag to it. You know, that you add to the display to say, oh, we're so, you know, the bounty is this much. No, I'd almost rather have these without that. And if I got any of these, I would do it without the bounty. Because I think they would just look better. It's like, oh, here you are. You're communicating with someone on a holocom and not looking at a bounty puck.
Yeah, but the bottom of it is definitely one of the bounty puck things.
Yeah, but it the bottom could be almost anything. Bounty puck, regular holocom stand, etc. From the Vintage Collection, we have a new Hope, Princess Leia Organa and R2-D2. And the R2 does look like it may be a newer mold, newer updated mold. R2 I'll be getting. Going through the rest of this list.
That's interesting. The Leia, it comes like with the add-on hood.
Yeah, which is I like as well, which... having the Tantive IV playset, hallway playset that I've got, that would be she would be a cool piece to add to that.
Yeah. Looks like the rest of the figures are all from
it's all a new Hope. Series. Then we have, which I need to go to my other source for this, from the Acolyte. First, we have a couple vintage collections. We have May, the Assassin vintage collection, and Jedi Master Soul. I'm going to say it now. These are probably now on my list because of High Republic era. And I have really enjoyed the High Republic. So this would be awesome to collect figures from that time period. This would be an easy start to do, provided they don't get too carried away with this like they did with Clone Wars with, okay, we're going to release every single clone commander and every single clone and yada, yada, yada.
Just because they know Mike can't say no?
Yeah. Black Series-wise, I would potentially get all of these as well because we're going to have Black Series Padawan Jeki Lon, Jedi Knight Yord Fandar, Jedi Master Indara, Jedi Master Soul, and Mei the Assassin. And these look great. I mean, these are, to me, this is what Black Series should be. And I'm glad they're coming back, especially with this set, more that direction. I do find
robes are actually soft goods too.
Yeah. I do find it interesting though, from what we've seen with the artwork from the comics and the books to what we're seeing live action. I understand we're at the tail end of the High Republic era, but just the difference of when the robes have changed, of how the robes have changed or the Jedi look has changed as we're nearing the end of the High Republic era.
I don't know. I think that's more of just a aesthetic of the difference between writing it down and drawing it compared to actually making it live.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I still very much enjoy the look. And I think it looks awesome. It's just now it almost seems like at the end, near the end of the High Republic era, we are slowly going to more of the traditional Jedi look that we see.
Yeah, I think that's more of they know there's going to be a lot of mainstream eyeballs on this. So they want the Jedi to look like Jedi and what people expect the Jedi to look like.
Yeah.
Compared to like High Republic, they still look like Jedi in the books and the comics and stuff, but it still was a little bit different than what people would be expecting.
Now, I like the tunic that Indara is wearing. I mean,
yeah,
it is different. It is unique, but still fits within the Jedi mold. But I am liking the fact that while the main tunic underneath may be different in color, the obis or the tabards, well, both the obis, which is the section where the Jedi belt's sitting, and the tabards are all pretty much the same color, if I'm seeing this right, except for the pad one. Okay, so the obis are all the same color. They're all that muted gold.
Yeah.
For the obis, for those who are wearing obis. Because if you take a look, they're all the same color obi, which is fine. I'm okay with that. And I think shortly after is when the chain, you know, shortly after this is when, you know, the obis or the tabards change to fit more personality of the Jedi.
Well, also this could be, this is that, Master Soul, the other two, Fandar and Lon are probably both. Lon is actually his direct apprentice, but Fandar could be his former apprentice.
Yeah.
So, of course, they would still dress similar. Remember when you first see Obi-Wan and Anakin? Anakin looks similar to Obi-Wan in what he's wearing.
Right. Maybe. Yeah, in Attack of the Clones, they look different. Anakin's got his more traditional look that we've known for Anakin. Now, when we see young Anakin, the Jake Lloyd Anakin at the end, yes, he's dressed similar to Obi-Wan. But also, too, coming is... Moff Gideon's Black Series Premium Electronic Helmet, which is not bad looking.
And, yeah, that's cool looking.
And I am actually surprised it's actually cheaper than some of the other helmets that are coming out in the Black Series. This is priced at $99.99, whereas everything else has been about $130. So maybe that's a positive sign of pricing coming down on some things.
Maybe.
From Girls Crew, we got the Dark Side Collection. With Marvel, we got the Thrawn Alliances miniseries.
Thrawn Alliances, wasn't that one of the books?
Yes.
Is this an adaptation of one of the books?
It may be. I have to research it more.
What? I have the first issue of it. I don't remember what the books are about, though.
This is.
Is it about Obi-Wan or Thrawn and Vader?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's probably an adaptation of the Thrawn trilogy that he did, the new Thrawn trilogy.
Mm.
Yes, I think so. It's written, co-written by Timothy Zahn and Jody Hauser. And issue 3 dropped today as we're recording. Star Wars Dorables from Just Play. Star Wars Vader's Castle, the deluxe library collection, which I think Vader's Castle was IDW. It's not popping up.
Dark Horse.
Dark Horse. Stormtrooper Special Edition Arc 3 Men's Shaver. Why is the Stormtrooper? Because it's going to miss everything.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd want to pick up a shaver that was a Stormtrooper shaver.
And I apologize to Rural Farm Boy that in the everyone, he brought this up in the voicemail. And we had talked about this in the past when he brought it up to us on why Stormtroopers get so much hate about their accuracy. Whereas in the books, even the canon books, Stormtroopers are a pretty decent shot. So why are they portrayed so bad in the visual media?
We've talked about it. And
yeah.
We discussed perhaps it is on purpose.
Yeah.
Some cases.
Yeah.
Or straight the fact that when we're watching it in media, you're watching Stormtroopers fight against not just standard soldiers.
Mm. It's true, too.
You got they're fighting against heroes. If you watch the Tantive IV, the first time you ever see Stormtroopers in Star Wars, they're dropping Rebel Troopers all over the place.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, they're doing the same thing on Hoth.
Mm-hmm. They have no problem hitting targets. They can't hit the important targets. That's all.
So, but it's just been part of one of my favorite like Sunday comic strips. I don't remember the name of it, but it's two rabbits. One's a Star Trek fan. One's a Star Wars fan. And the Star Trek fan's wearing a red shirt. Star Wars fan's dressed as a stormtrooper. And he goes, pew, pew, I missed. And the Star Trek rabbit goes, oh, I died anyway.
I've seen that, but not as rabbits.
Yeah, I've not seen that as rabbits. I've just seen it, but I've seen it before.
Still, it's one of those. It's that lore that people just have fun picking on.
Yeah, it's just a running joke.
Yeah. From Funko Pop, Star Wars Duels, Jar Jar Binks versus Grievous.
Wonder who would win that one.
I don't know. There's a new Dark Side collection from Roosevelt's, and Target has a new Star Wars graphic tee with Vader, and it looks like 3 Stormtroopers. I can't tell what it says. It says, join the Dark Side, and it's a ringer short sleeve shirt. It's not a bad looking graphic. So that's the new stuff for Imperial March on the March 20th release.
These Roosevelt's shirts look kind of cool. I actually did get one of the Shop Disney shirts with the Stormtrooper and Vader the Hawaiian shirts they made.
Right.
Oh yeah.
It is really cool looking. Mm-hmm. The one that was the samurai one.
Oh yeah.
The blue samurai, cool. There was a red one and a white one, I believe, that Disney put out. I just went to Roosevelt's. They have a shirt here that's Thrawn's Pawns, and it's almost all troopers, except Thrawn is in there in one place, and the Goldface Trooper is in there in one place. The rest is all just covered with troopers.
There was also some pipeline reveals today. Here we go. Vintage collection pipeline reveals. Grand Admiral Thrawn from Ahsoka, a jetpack trooper, a Blurg and the Mandalorian, and a 4-pack of X-Wing pilots. Mm. If it's pipeline and this becomes a reality, I will be getting this one as well. The Moff Gideon's Imperial Light Cruiser Hallway Playset.
Nice.
That could be real fun to have one or two of those as well. I want to get another Tantive IV hallway playset just for display ideas. The different, because it could be any ship, and I've got ideas of what I would love to do. Also, too, coming May 4th of this year, will be the announcement of a new vintage collection, HasLab.
We'll have to see how they do.
Every other vintage collection has had success.
They're going to try to do the Rancor now in vintage.
I don't see why not.
Because they already tried it.
Yeah, but Black Series, and it failed.
Yeah,
but,
yeah. So maybe a little time before they try the Rancor again.
Well, again, as we talked about, that Rancor still would be the ideal size, even for 3 3/4 inch.
Yeah.
It'd probably be better for 3 3/4.
And I think it would go much better for vintage collection, and you could do better figures.
I'm predicting this one's going to be a ship.
Could be.
I think you're right.
They've gone well with every time they've done a ship.
But which ship?
That's a good question.
That's the question.
Imagine a truly, truly detailed and accurate size Falcon.
No way possible. not for the price.
I know, but look what they did with the Razor Crest. I mean, it was a smaller ship. I understand that.
Yeah.
But look how much detail and stuff they got into that thing.
Well, they kind of did with the Vintage Collection Millennium Falcon with Target for Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah.
That did have a little bit more detail.
I mean, admittedly, the Ghost, they got funded, but it wasn't as good when it came to scaling.
No.
Because the Ghost is a huge ship, really. Yes. Or supposed to be.
Supposed to be. I'm trying to find.
I don't think it's going to be a figure. I don't think. I mean, it'll be a playset, but I think it'll be a ship of some sort.
Yeah, it should be a ship.
Yeah, I'm just wondering which ship. I'm trying to think of what it could possibly be. Or what might be interesting.
I don't think they've remade since the early 80s. Do some type of a take on an Imperial Star Destroyer. They did a Star Destroyer playset back in the 80s for Empire.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, I have that.
Well, I have the shell of it.
That could be interesting.
But it's like, how could you in modern time? Because that one didn't look like a Star Destroyer at all. It was just some of the interior.
Right.
What could you do to truly make it look and feel like a Star Destroyer?
Well, I think at this point in time, if they're going to do something with the Star Destroyer, they could do a maybe a recreation of the bridge from like Empire with the Bounty Hunters. With the gangplank, the operation pits.
Yeah.
And all that. Yeah, you can do that. Or do half of the, open side of one set of pits, upper layer.
It's not as iconic, but you could do like Bad Batch's shuttle.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of stuff that's actually in use now. You know what I mean? Or something that people would jump on because it's something they're seeing now. Because Mandalorian, we've already got the ships. They've already put out the N1 Starfighter and the Razor Crest. Boba Fett, he didn't have a ship. Really, he didn't have a ship in his series.
We have an E-Wing coming.
Yeah, E-Wing's already coming. Anything else we've seen that's out doesn't really have its own distinct thing that says this is for that ship, you know?
Could it be something related to the Acolyte?
Maybe. When is it supposed to happen? No, this is May 4th. Acolyte's not out yet.
For a HasLab?
Not for HasLab.
Yeah, that'd be too much of a spoiler.
You know what?
It'd be too early, too, for a show that just comes out.
Yeah. After seeing what Lego did with it, the Yavin 4 Temple playset. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking like on the old school Castle Grayskull style playset.
Mm-hmm. It's a possibility.
I mean, look what Lego did with it.
Or if we have pipeline, the X-Wing pilots, what about the briefing room?
Possibly.
With all the seats.
There's not a lot of action that goes on in there, though, is the thing. A lot of times, you got to think, this is still technically a toy.
Right.
Playability. You're going to have, if you're looking at it as a toy, you're going to have kids sitting there playing up a briefing.
Yeah, but HasLab, I don't see kids playing with this as a HasLab.
I know, but still.
I see this as a diorama piece.
But look at the HasLabs that they've had. They're actually playable toys.
Yeah, but I don't think they're geared towards kids.
No, it's geared for those who are displaying.
Yeah, I don't see like a briefing room or something like that. It's going to be something that has playability of some sort. Even if they're not aiming it at kids.
It's going to be interesting.
I mean, come on, we still play with toys.
They're not toys, they're collectibles, man.
We still play with them.
They're collectible toys.
So this brings a great question. What would you like to see as the Vintage Collection HasLab? Hit us up at WookieRadio@gmail.com. Let us know.
You can even send us a voicemail.
You could.
And Mike will be sure to hold his phone up to the microphone so you can hear it.
Now, I'm going to fix that issue. That's going to be fixed.
He's going to fix that issue right after he fixes his website.
There was... Okay, so what else was announced today?
The video game thing. Do you guys have you guys, either of you, played Brawlhalla?
No.
No.
I guess it's some, it's a game out there, but they announced as of March 20th, there's a Star Wars event happening. It'll bring Anakin Skywalker, Darth Vader, Ahsoka, and Obi-Wan, and even a Lothcat or two into the 2D free-to-play fighting game.
Really?
So summon the Force to for lifting rocks, grab a weapon skin to turn your favorite blade into a lightsaber, and take the high ground on the new Mustafar map, which allows players to reenact the epic duel from Revenge of the Sith. So I'm not sure where you if
this is on. It's a mobile game. It's a mobile game.
Okay.
Brawl is a free 2D platform fighting game that supports up to 8 local or online players.
This says it's across consoles. Yeah, it's on consoles.
With everything. PC, PS5, PS4, Xbox, and yeah.
Commodore 64, DSR 80.
And television.
Atari 8.
Even Odyssey 2. My dad still has one of those in a closet down in his house.
ColecoVision.
I have to get it and put it, bring it home.
You can even play it on the Sears and Roebuck Pong game system.
Yeah, but does it work on oscilloscopes?
No.
Okay, I'm watching a video of the game. Everybody's got big heads.
Tiny arms.
Tiny arms. Yeah. It looks interesting, though. It kind of looks like a Smash Brothers-esque type game.
Well, I'm going to take us down this direction next.
All right, here's the mission debrief. I'm sending to your terminals now.
And this is going to be brought to you by Jersey Ninja. Go check them out, jerseyninja.com. Use code WeebyGeeks for 10% off your purchase of some great stuff. Yeah, hockey jerseys, performance wear, basketball jerseys, etc. Check them out. Let's talk about Bad Territory. This is episode 9, correct?
Done. Give me a minute.
I believe so. 3.
No, it's 8.
Is it episode 8?
Yeah.
Are we halfway? Yeah,
it was 6-7 last week.
So this is the halfway point.
Yep.
So.
And they answered, well, they kind of answered some of the questions that you had, some of your nitpicks and stuff, Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Because they actually advanced the Han storyline.
So, Derek, take it away.
Okay, so. What we like to do is a little thing that I invented that I like to call the good, the bad, and the nitpicky. And that is, of course, where we choose something that we, some things that we really liked, some things that maybe we didn't like so much, and just some little things that kind of annoyed us a little that didn't really detract from the actual enjoyment of the episode. And, of course, I think it's best to start with the nitpicky and end with the good. So, excuse me.
That's it. I'm out. If Mike's going to use sound effects like that.
I know, right?
Most annoying sound effect ever created.
Oh, I hate that one. I hate it so much. I know what's even worse. I hate when people do it themselves. That drives me nuts. Anyway, so let's get into it. Who wants to start?
I actually have a slight nitpicky this week for once.
Oh, okay. What do you got?
Why is it? Why it's nothing major, but why is it every time they introduce a new creature in Star Wars, it looks like the creature that's supposed to be there on Earth?
That is an excellent point.
Is that something that it should be something totally crazy? It's in another galaxy somewhere. Except we have crocodile looking monsters in the swamp.
I think
they went to the planet Florida or Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. If I had to wager a guess, I'd say it's probably because they want to make it familiar enough
that
people will, kids especially, will recognize. Oh, that's like an alligator.
Yeah, that's like I said. That's why it's a nitpicking, not a bad. But it's like, everywhere, every time you do, like if they go off in the woods, it's some kind of a cat that's chasing them.
Yeah. Well, we you know, we're talking about the bounty that Finnick's after, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've seen that race before, though.
No, we're talking about the alligators.
Yeah, I'm talking about the alligator creatures.
Oh, under the why Finnick says she doesn't get into the water.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So they're going down the Star Wars equivalent of the Amazon River, and of course, there's crocodiles. Huh? Who would have thought? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're in the denial section of the planet Florida. In the Louisiana sector.
We got to give him a laugh or something, Derek. Or he's going to keep trying.
That, Ken, is actually the perfect definition of a nitpicky.
Yeah. Doesn't take away from it. It's just something that's like, why?
Yeah, you're just like, guys, come on.
You're supposed to be, like, creative.
That's like with a...
Make with a wuzzle out of it or something. Make it a hippo slash crocodile slash...
Yeah, I mean, it's a weird combination. That's like one of the episodes last week. They had a giant worm, and I'm just like,
yeah, was
everybody does a giant worm.
Well, Dune's coming out, and they had a snow planet, and they had a giant snow worm instead of a sandworm.
I finally saw Dune last weekend.
I want to see it. I just haven't had a chance.
Dune 2. It was good. It was very good.
Hey, I'm not expecting anything new on the story, but it's going to be pretty.
Yeah.
We got Beetlejuice 2 coming out, and we know they're going to have that sandworm, too.
Oh, yeah, right.
So,
what are the nitpickies we got?
To me, my only nitpicky was when Wrecker and Hunter walk into the bar for Fennec Shan, you know, to try and find Fennec Shan. I mean, here they are in full clone armor, and they're just walking through, and, like, no one's batting an eye. It's like, wait a second. I don't care how seedy of a joint it is. You're coming in dressed like that. Heads are going to turn. A lot more heads are going to turn.
Yeah.
See, I took that as though if you look, it is old clone trooper war armor, but it's not painted. It doesn't look anything like trooper armor anymore.
Right.
The shape of stuff is totally painted. It's all beat up. I took it almost as we don't see it that much in this, but I'm sure there's plenty of surplus clone armor laying around that bounty hunters and other people have picked up. I mean, look, the Jedi had pieces of it that they were using. They didn't have full suits, but they would have, like, the shoulder pauldrons, or they'd have, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So there's enough of that stuff running around the galaxy that it's not uncommon for bounty hunters or mercenaries to have clone or trooper armor.
Yeah, but
like the Mandos making Mandalorian armor. You know what I mean?
Right. Mm-hmm. But again, you got two guys who you've never seen before walking in. And it's just no heads turn.
Yeah.
So it was almost like they almost purposely broke the stereotype with that scene.
I see what you mean. Yeah.
And for me, I still would have. I was expecting. Okay, these two are going to walk in. I'm expecting half the bar to go quiet and turn and look and watch. And they walk in and walk past everything as if nothing ever happened.
Mm-hmm.
It looks kind of like a Mos Eisley style bar, though, too.
So yeah.
It's probably one of those that there's new guys walking in there every day that you never know who's going to walk through the door.
Yeah, but new guys looking.
There to find bounty hunters, to make deals, to find smugglers. And it's not the only one. If you watch outside, there was like 67 other bars that looked just like this one.
Right.
I actually see both points, both of your points. So
I mean, I see the other side too.
Yeah,
it's you know,
but
for me, I was hyped up. Okay, they're gonna walk into this place. They're you know, decked the way they are. They're not taking off their helmets when they first get up to the, you know, when they first walk in. And bartender was like, "Oh yeah, right over there." It's just everything was way too smooth, and there should have been a hair more resistance, in my opinion.
No, that's another show.
I didn't say Rise of Resistance.
Hey, Derek.
Right.
Hey, Derek. That's my job.
I know. I'm sorry.
Anyway.
He's doing one job.
Get away from it. Don't make me get the phone out. So that's my nitpicky. I mean, it's maybe 75% of the epitome of what a nitpicky should be, but.
Oh, no, totally. Yeah. No, that's a good one.
But it's my nitpicky.
No, yeah. That's a totally valid nitpicky.
It was, to be honest with you, I thought I was going to go through this whole episode with no nitpickies. And then that scene happened. I'm like, okay, there. That's the only nitpicky I got. It's like, it's just. The sad part is the gators didn't bother me like it did Ken. But now it does.
Yeah, well, it wasn't. When I initially saw him, it didn't. But then it started to click. I was like, how many times have we seen an Earth-based animal that's just slightly modified and slapped into Star Wars?
Yeah. I agree with you on that one. I don't think I have any other nitpickies really that I can think of. So I guess other than the ones you two mentioned, that would be about it.
I mean, to try and come up with a three nitpickies, I probably would have come up with the gators as well. I don't think I could have come up with a third one. I mean, it was decent enough of an episode.
These have all been pretty solid episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we're digging deep for the nitpickies on this episode.
Which then that will bring us to something we might also have trouble with, the bad. Anything particularly bad in this episode that you didn't care for?
I was good with it.
Yeah, I can't think of anything really bad.
I go back to the bar. The whole sequence with the Rodian, Hunter, Wrecker, and Finnick. Oh, we need to talk. Oh, he can stay. No, we're bringing. Okay, yeah, leave. Oh, wait. No. Okay. I didn't like for something like that. Just they turned Finnick, which I think being this early in the timeline, they made Finnick more of a Han Solo attitude there than.
Than
what we've seen in the past and even seen with Book of Boba Fett.
Or in the future.
But it does change later in the episode. It's just that initial, here's people she's gone up against that may or may not still have Omega.
Well, the weird thing is that I almost think her character should be a little bit farther off from what we've seen. See, I think this is, 10 years or more before we met her in Book of Boba Fett?
Yeah, but
this is 20, almost 30 years from Book of Boba Fett.
But we see her though.
It's in, just after Revenge of the Sith.
But we see her in season one of Bad Batch.
So maybe 25 years.
Maybe. I don't know. When you really think about things like that, sometimes it gets a little confusing. Yeah, you're like, wait a minute. So, because she would be younger,
much younger than what she is.
Yeah, but like I said, it was just this moment.
Yeah.
For someone as cocky and skilled as she is, to carry that attitude on this initial meeting.
No, yeah. I totally agree with you on that one.
I mean, it did improve once near the end of that sequence when she started to call the shots. It's like, okay, now this is the Finnick we tend to know.
It's the Finnick we know and love.
But the reintroduction of Finnick to this season, I didn't like, and I feel it fell a little flat.
Okay, yeah, that's valid, certainly.
That's the only bad I got.
Yeah, and like I said, I can't really think of anything, and you said the same, Ken? You can't really think of much? So, that's pretty good. So, that will then, of course, bring us to the goods.
Oh, I'm going to take this one.
Oh, there's plenty of good in this one.
Finally address Crosshair's hand.
Yeah. When I was watching it, I was like, my first thought was, oh, Mike's going to be happy.
Well, remember, we were trying to tell you last week before you jumped off the building that, that dude, they're going to keep it going. But they're going to give you more info on it slowly as we go.
Right.
And even here, they didn't give you any actual, they didn't give you any info. Other but than it's not a medical condition.
They directly addressed it, which is good.
They did say that it's something that's ongoing instead of just showing you.
But you know, if they don't address it for another two episodes or five episodes, the way they handled it in this episode, I'm satisfied.
Yeah.
Hunter looked at Omega. Apparently, he felt that and is noticing the connection between Omega and Crosshair. Especially when she tried to last episode, she's sitting in the chair, almost like chewing on a toothpick, like he was.
Yeah. Which, by the way, I'm really liking their connection.
Yeah,
I'm digging that they're finally getting a connection, like yeah. She and Tech had,
right?
Like she and like she's had with the others. She's finally coming through, and I think everything that happened at the facility really. Where she still showed her loyalty to him, despite what he tried to do to them.
Right.
Meant some, because it all comes back to that. I was loyal. They weren't loyal back.
Yeah.
But for Hunter to go, talk to him getting that hand looked at.
Right.
Then they go, okay, there's nothing wrong with the hand. And when the droid, I can't remember his name. But when the droid said, I've done everything I can. There's nothing more I could do for the hand. It may not be physical. I'm like, all right. This is side effects from torture.
I had a feeling it was going to be more mental than actual physical, but
yeah,
it didn't dawn on me until the droid starts going, did that make things better? And it's almost like you could see the hand was more steady. But he's still saying, no, it's the same.
Mm.
Like, okay, this is a PTSD type scenario.
Yeah.
Right.
This is okay. We're going to go down this road, and there's still more to what happened to him. It's a mental thing. But I dug to carry it on through where Omega is now teaching Crosshair how to meditate to try and help heal mentally.
Oh, that's another thing I took note of. It's you forget how much Crosshair missed. Of what happened in the first two seasons to them.
Yeah.
And
then it's like, I like that they are acknowledging that as well.
Yeah.
One of the things I really liked also was something that kind of came out of nowhere. And it's almost, if you missed it, it would be really easy to miss it. But in this episode, for the first time in a long time, we see Wrecker is not quite as dumb as he looks.
Yes.
When they walk into the bar, Mike's favorite scene in the whole show. When they walk up to the bar there, they're talking, and as they're walking, getting ready to walk over to Fennec, Wrecker's the one that reminds Hunter, hey, be careful what we tell her, because she is still extremely dangerous.
Right.
It's like, it's not something you expect to hear coming out of Wrecker. You'd think he'd be the first one to open his mouth in the wrong spot.
Right.
But so no, he actually is paying attention. He actually does have more of a brain in his head than it comes off as usually.
Yeah, he's not just the goofy comic relief.
Well, he is, but...
Well, yeah, he is, but he's not just...
Yeah.
And I loved how they still played on that through the entire episode of Wrecker doesn't trust her. And then when we get to the end of the episode, Wrecker was right.
Yeah. Also, when you get to the where they're checking out the mines, he was dead serious. I don't think we've ever seen him serious like that before. But he's talking to Hunter like, "Dude, these are trouble."
Oh yeah,
yeah.
So when they're going through and he's doing what his demolition's job, he wasn't just out there having a good time. No, he was actually dead serious. You have to be with what he's doing, but
right.
The thing that got me is I feel we know who Fennec's talking to, but I still loved how they threw the tease of, are we going to throw you the fastball right down the center, or are we going to actually give you a curveball? Because to me, she's talking to one of two people. She's talking to either Asajj or she's talking to Hemlock.
I was thinking Hemlock. I hadn't even thought about Asajj.
Or Hemlock's aide, the other clone.
Oh, Emery or whatever Emery, name.
Yeah.
Was?
Yeah.
One of those three. It's someone from Tantus or it's Asajj. The only reason why I bring up Asajj is M count. Who would recognize that quicker? A Jedi, Sith, some a Force user. We know at this point Asajj is a bounty hunter.
Yeah.
Of sorts. We know she's going to be in the episodes.
I don't think we're going to see her till the final episode or the final two.
I think we're going to get her sooner. I think she's going to come in, make an appearance, disappear, and then come back just like Fennec did.
I have no idea.
But it was still a nice ending because she says her speech and you hear some transmission, but it's not audible enough to make out voice. It's just more of a static.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, very well played.
Okay. I got a tinfoil hat out of nowhere. Theory about Asajj in these.
No, boy.
Cause they said they're going to somehow they will let it'll make sense. With her, with the death that's already happened, all that stuff, everything will be reconciled at the end of it, even though they're bringing her back. It's a flashback. So Asajj isn't actually in this time. It's like Fennec or someone is telling a story of what happened when she met Asajj, worked with Asajj. Or someone. Like I said, it's tinfoil hat territory, but still. It is a possibility. I don't know if I like that possibility or not. I like to throw theories out once in a while.
Well, yeah, that would kind of make sense if they were going to stick to.
Because everything, all the indications they've made, it doesn't sound like they're going to retcon it.
Right.
No, they have. There was talk that there's going to be some retconning of her death.
But they said but they also have said that everything that we know so far about Asajj is still there.
Right.
So unless she died but didn't actually die, which we've seen multiple times.
Which there's that possibility, too.
But yeah, if they did a flashback to the point where it was still after the Clone Wars or after she left Dooku. So after the Clone Wars series, but before Bad Batch starts or before she dies. In that short amount of time when she was working as a bounty hunter and actually working with Ahsoka some.
Where did she, what did she die in? Oh, was it a book or was it?
Books. Was it Jedi Lost? No, Dark Disciple.
That would be easier to retcon than that.
Yeah, but they've said they're going to keep it with everything that's already happened.
Okay.
Somehow. I believe it was Dark Disciple was the one that she dies at the end of.
Okay, so according to Wikipedia, she lived 43 BBY to 39 BBY. That's too short a period.
You say 43 to 39?
Yeah, that's what it says here. This is Legends. So it was
4 years?
4 years?
There's no way. There's no way.
That seems, there's no way she was 4 years old.
Because Clone Wars was...
Witches of Dathomir age very rapidly.
Because Clone Wars was 22 to 19.
Pretty rapidly.
Yeah, well, again, this is Legends, and there's a mistake there. On canon...
It's also Wookiee Radio, so it's not technically official.
On the canon side, she was born in 50 BBY. No death is listed.
Mm-hmm.
But in the breakdown, sacrifice, there we go. Her sacrifice, it does not give a... She is partnered with Qui-Lon Voss. Voss stopped Dooku, a.k.a. Tyrannus. Who goaded him to kill him, but Voss refused, recognizing that was the only...
goes to the dark side that comes back.
Right. So she, according to this, the sacrifice would have happened for the end of the Clone Wars.
Yeah, but it was at the very end of the Clone Wars. So it'd be right before this.
It would be right before Revenge of the Sith took place. Mm. Now, they also have a... further journeys where it starts off by saying, despite her apparent death, the story of Ventress was not yet over. Ventress has survived and returned to being active in the galaxy. After the Clone Wars ended, concluding the destruction of the Separatist Alliance and the transformation of the Republic into the Galactic Empire, she found herself living amid the early Imperial era. At that point, Dooku and Grievous were dead. and so was most of the Jedi Order under due to Order 66, and continued the Great Jedi Purge. During the Purge, surviving Jedi and anti-Imperial Force sensitives found themselves hunted by Sidious's agents. During the Rogue Clone Force 99 struggle against the newly found Empire, Ventress encountered an enemy she deemed annoying enough to consider murdering. So,
I don't know where they got that information, unless they got screeners of Bad Batch.
I know, right? Could be.
But y'all, we also don't know who possibly went in and edited this, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
I doubt it was anybody official, though.
But this does play into, though, the thought of maybe she wasn't completely dead. She went into a meditative state that almost seemed dead and was able to be restored easier on Dathomir because of that, by the Night Sisters.
Maybe. I mean,
Let me look here. This is official. I'm in the data bank on StarWars.com. They don't have a whole lot here. So,
I mean, it sounds appealing. Now, this is the thing that I like. As a Jedi, Ventress used a green bladed lightsaber during her apprenticeship. And then, of course, she took up her own. You know, she kept her saber, took her master saber after Kai Narek was killed. Dooku later gave her two curved hilt lightsabers that were typical dark side red or Sith red. And then when she changed back, she took on, she acquired herself a new yellow bladed lightsaber from the black market. And the funny thing is, her yellow bladed lightsaber looks very similar to the reforged lightsaber of Darth Maul.
I never thought about that, having sabers on the black market. That would be interesting.
Yeah.
Well, you kind of have that when you go to Galaxy's Edge.
Technically, I suppose.
When you go to Savi's workshop, it's almost a black market type scenario. As you go into the back room. So, I think it'd be interesting. Be very curious to see how it's done.
Yeah.
See, instead of finding a lightsaber on the black market, they should like design their own and have someplace like Rebel Sabers make them, possibly.
Hey, if they use the code Wookiee, they could save themselves 10% on the credits.
Exactly.
Credit cost.
It'd be awesome to see what kind of smugglers lightsabers we could have.
Yep.
Sure would.
So, we forgot to rank last week's.
We did?
Set of episodes.
I thought we didn't do that on here. We were doing it on another one, on the other one.
No, we did it for the first four.
Oh,
the what we gave. So with 5 through 7, if you can remember, what would you have rated, given your rating on our scale of -3 to +3?
We're all three together.
For five through seven that we covered last week, because we forgot to do it last week.
Probably like 1.5.
I'm going to say 2. I really enjoyed those.
I say 1.75 for me. This week, Bad Territory, how do we rate it?
It's probably a good 2.25.
Derek?
I will also go with a 2 on this one.
I went 2 as well on this one. So that's that. Let's close with the Acolyte trailer. Initial.
We got all kinds of Acolyte info too.
Yeah. And we're not going to have time to cover it all.
I know.
So I think some of this talk is going to carry over into next week, but y'all's initial impression of the trailer.
It's okay.
Yeah.
No, it looks awesome. This is actually, I think this is from the look of this. This is what people have been wanting Star Wars to be since they started making Star Wars TV. Because we finally have actually a show about Jedi.
Yeah.
Star Wars now.
Yeah. Which is, I think the timing of this is perfect too. We've had all these shows where, okay, Ahsoka, you got a Jedi focus, you know, a singular Jedi. Nothing to help promote the order forward. Obi-Wan, it's just discussing his survival. We really didn't have anything else with any of the other shows.
Yeah, this is actually about the Jedi during the height of the Jedi.
I'm curious more about
the Sith than it is the Jedi.
Well, not as far as the trailer is concerned.
True.
You're curious about what?
I am curious about how it will be received in general for people who haven't really delved into the High Republic. Will they make it accessible enough?
I have seen almost a 50-50 split of those who are deeply based into the franchise from either working on past projects or connections with Lucasfilm. I've seen a mixed, and the one person that I saw the negative towards the trailer actually didn't surprise me. I would have been more shocked if that person liked it, as opposed to the negative reaction. It just looks too bland.
Okay.
And want to go, we watched the same thing.
Yeah. This almost had a feel, the look and feel of like the Phantom Menace.
Yeah. Actually, no.
It's like the Jedi Order before the fall.
I would say it almost had more of a blend of Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones, especially with that end sequence.
That's just because you still like Attack of the Clones.
Yeah. And
I don't know if that's going to sell it to people.
Until I saw another article, I thought that was actually Buriaga we were seeing.
No, it is not.
It's not.
It's a new Wookiee Jedi.
Kelnaka.
Yes.
Master Kelnaka.
And I believe his saber is also a crossguard saber, almost like a broadsword.
Nice.
I'm hoping that's what it is.
There is a character, anybody who's familiar with the High Republic, there is a character from the High Republic books and comics in this. And you see her in the trailer. Jedi Master Vernestra Rowe.
Oh, that's right.
That's the green-skinned Jedi that you see later on.
Yep.
Remember, this is actually a couple of years after, obviously more than a couple of years after the books.
Right.
After Phase 3.
Well, I love, too, how we're getting some new races within the Jedi Order as well. Or seeing new races to the franchise, which I think was great.
I did really like the that opening scene with Master Sol talking to the younglings.
Yeah.
It's like all stuff that you will later hear Yoda telling younglings.
Yeah.
And remember, Yoda is alive and still part of the Jedi Order during this time. We may see him at some point.
I believe at this stage in the game, though, he's not quite a council member yet.
No. Well, he's only like 500 or 600 years old. I mean, come on. He's still middle age.
I did like when we see all the Jedi running. I did notice there are a couple orange bladed sabers in that group. There was yellow, there was orange, there was blue, there was green.
It's going to be purple. So I guess Vernestra Rose lightsaber is purple.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of colors.
So to go back, maybe Baylan and Shin, that's not the orange is not the color of a fallen Jedi. Maybe that was his color when he was a member of the Jedi. And since she is following suit, is gone the same way. Because we're seeing orange sabers in this trailer. So I found that interesting.
Yeah.
Supposedly, there's one acolyte character who has ties to Ahsoka.
I saw the headline.
And it's the mother character.
Okay.
Witches? Yeah, the witches. In the Acolyte trailer, fans have been asking whether or not this mother, Anasaya, played by Jodie Turner Smith, is some kind of spiritual descendant of the mother in the Path of the Open Hand. Could be. This could, she could be from the early stages of the Night Sisters. Or what becomes the Night Sisters?
I don't think she's going to be one of the Night Sisters, but that doesn't mean we know there's Force users across the universe that are not Jedi or Sith.
Right.
So, and maybe the same concept as the Dathomir witches, but I think it'd be different.
Yeah. Well, like I said, maybe it's a precursor. And then apparently the showrunner is saying that there could be multiple seasons because that's the way she pitched it. Which I could be down with that.
Yeah.
I could be down with that. 3-4 seasons. I think trying to go five is going to be a stretch.
Depends on what they do with the story.
True. But I think three or four could work. Because we're seeing three's almost become a stretch for The Mandalorian.
Mm.
I'll be curious to see how the movie and season four go. To see if, okay, yeah, they went too far. They should have just ended with the movie. And if they do that concept, three seasons and then a movie to wrap it up, I'd be cool with that too.
Well, you got to think also in the history of Star Wars, the only thing, the only long form storytelling that's made it more than like five seasons on the outside was Clone Wars. And it was an anthology for most of that time. It wasn't all about one specific set of characters.
Well, anything that lasted more than three seasons, Clone Wars and Rebels, because Rebels went four.
That's what I said. Anything that went farther than five was Clone Wars. So.
Right.
And also it was animated. So, and because right. All the rest of the, everything else was one-off stories or there were a series of movies, but it's not the same.
Right.
Star Wars, long-form storytelling in Star Wars is a relatively new concept. Well, it's an extremely new concept in the history of Star Wars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because even if you go back to Mando, when it first premiered, was what, in 2018,
2019? I believe so.
No, it's 2020.
Was it 2020?
No.
2019, right before the...
Yeah, 2019.
Right before the pandemic.
So, yeah, it was a little over 40 years of Star Wars history. We've had 4 years or 5 years now of long-form storytelling.
Right. Now, Leslie Headland, the showrunner, also confirmed that the show runtime is going to be between 30 to 35 minutes, with maybe a couple a little longer. She's teasing that the finale may be close to 40. But she said there are also some that I think are barely 30 minutes, but the average between 30 and 35 minutes.
See, I'd like to see longer episodes on any of these.
I would like to see longer.
Yeah.
But don't stretch the story to make it longer. You know?
No. Yeah. Is there an episode count or have they not announced that yet?
There's also an article here that has all the directors on it and it only has 8 episodes listed under the directors.
Yeah. She did mention that while a series like Obi-Wan was initially envisioned as a feature film, ultimately became a 6-episode limited series that told an overall storyline. She doesn't see The Acolyte as an extended movie that is broken up into 8 chapters. Okay. But, you know, if she's expecting, you know, more seasons, then no, she shouldn't take the movie approach to it.
Yeah.
So.
No.
Any final thoughts?
I got nothing.
I didn't find anything small, little to throw in here yet.
I'm still going through, and I'm not seeing anything either. So, well, on that note,
gentlemen, sounds like there's only one thing left to be said.
Give the evacuation code signal.
All right, cut the chatter.
Jax, I can hold it. Pull out!
No, I'm all right.
Placed information vital to the survival of the rebellion into the memory systems of this R2 unit.
I've lost R2!
Oh,